I will say the Lord's put some, actually spoken pretty clearly to me in some areas this week. And I'm not going to say much about this morning. I will moving forward. But if you've been praying for me, thank you. The Lord's been speaking. You know, sometimes it's good. You can go through seasons and parts like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? And then one day it's just like, bam. You know, just walking along and there he goes, you know. So it's always important. Keep your ears open to the Lord. Keep your spirit attuned to him. He speaks to us all the time. Amen. So I want to share with you guys. I had a lot, and I've actually felt, you know, my pastor would always say, if it's not flowing, it's not going to be going. And so I had something, kind of two parts. I'm going to flip one of them and do it when I get back. I'm not going to speak for terribly long this morning. I do want to unload a few things. Something that Kevin shared actually is something I had to say this morning. I just unload a few things on my spirit, and we're going to be taking communion when I'm done. And so save that afterwards when you're done, because I'm having communion with Pete and Jenny after service. I'm going to be going over there, so I'm going to take that. So just leave that there for those of you who do that. Thank you. I want to speak again, and I spoke last week on the golden candlestick, the tabernacle of Moses, and just a quick little recap. We've gone, and the tabernacle of Moses was a portable structure. The Lord said that I might come and dwell among them. And it's always the heart of God to dwell among us, to be in fellowship and communion with his people. And so we spoke about that, how the camps were situated around it, and the Lord's the center of our hearts and our lives, the gate Jesus entered into. We talked about the brazen altar, which was the blood sacrifice, and we spoke about forgiveness of sin, but there's also a benefits package the Lord gives to us as well. He lights the fire. It's our responsibility as priests unto God to keep it going. The brazen laver, we spoke about that. The Lord washes us in his blood, but we keep ourselves clean through the washing of the water of the Word of God. And last week we spoke about the golden candlestick, and there's a lot in that. I was talking some to Bob at prayer on Tuesday before, and I said, you know, the tabernacle of Moses, truth be told, really just doing an overview, there's a lot of digging you can do and find a lot of things in there that speak to us in our lives today, speaks to us prophetically in a lot of different areas. Even you can look at church history through the lens of the tabernacle of Moses. But I spoke last week, remember, I was hammered gold, and you know, we tried gold, gold tried in the fire, and how the Lord, you know, our giftings should match our character. And the Lord's interested in character. And we looked at the verse Psalm said about Joseph. Until the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And so it's always important to know that where I am right now, what I'm doing is very important. The Lord might have an amazing divine encounter for me next week. And right now he's doing something actively and presently in my life to prepare me for that. And if I just blow it off, that's not important. That's not this. That's not that. I may go into my divine encounter, either miss it or be ill-prepared when I finally get there. Okay, so it's always important each day that we have that, and we allow the Lord to mold and shape us. I want to look at a couple of things this morning. I will try to be short with it. There's just this fascinating idea that I have with the tabernacle, with the golden candlestick. And we spoke about how it's the Word of God, the different knobs, flowers, and bulbs. 39 on the left side, there's 27 on the right side. The Word of God, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's 9 sets on each side, the 9 fruit and gifts of the Spirit. There should be a balance in our life. But the primary function of the golden candlestick was to give light. Okay? I'm going to read a couple passages. You can turn there with me. I have several, but you can turn, if you want to turn in Exodus with me, or you can just follow along and listen. Exodus chapter 27. Verse 20 and 21. You can turn there if you want. Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 and 21. It says, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring pure oil of pressed olives." I'm going to speak about the oil later. "For the light to cause the lamp to burn continuously. And the tabernacle being outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statue forever to the generations on behalf of the children of Israel." And you don't have to turn to this one, but Exodus chapter 25, verse 37, it reads, "And you shall make 7 lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But then he said, "You are the light." As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. Just a quick little thing. When Jesus said this, there was a festival in that time. It's called the Festival of Illumination. And what they would do, they would have four kind of like golden candlesticks, and they would light them up at night, one night out of the year. And they said it was so bright that it would shine throughout Jerusalem, and the priests would go dance in the streets and celebrate before the Lord. And so Jesus took that image that these guys had at the time, and he said, I am the light of the world. He's the light of everyone all around the world, and it's a continual light that he is. Okay? And so Jesus looked at that. But there's this something that sticks with me. It's really neat about the tabernacle of Moses. We talked about there's an outer court. Remember when we talked about the coverings a few weeks ago? And if I go into the door, there's a covering where all these things are. But in the outer court, everything that happens is influenced by what's going on in the course of the day. Okay? If I go inside where the golden candlestick is, the golden candlestick is the light for all the holy place. All right? I could just stop here and just do this for the rest of the time. But let me say this. I don't like to classify Christians. I hate that. I'm not doing that. But you can say, if you're living in the realm where you call yourself an outer court Christian, basically where whatever's going around, I'm influenced and persuaded by everything that's going on around the world. So if I'm in the tabernacle of Moses and I'm in the outer court, if it's a nor'easter, guess what? The wind's bothering me. If the rains are bothering me, I'm influenced. I'm reacting to everything that's going on. But I step inside the door, the light that's there, there's a covering that covers everything, and I'm influenced by the light of God. Okay? I can either be influenced and dictated to by my situations or my circumstances, or by the Lord Himself. I was talking to Andrea, and I like to give good examples of this. This was yesterday, and I was really happy for her. Usually on Saturday mornings, I will go and take the kids out, and that's usually the day I go to the YMCA. Janelle, I only work out one day a week. I'm sorry. She's our workout queen. So I usually go one day a week. In the morning, Saturday morning, I'll go to the YMCA. I'll come back, take my kids out to give Andrea some time at home while Evan's asleep. And, you know, we've had some, just to be frank with you, about our home we're in now and just some stresses about trying to get out and things like that and the lease we are in and all this stuff. And, you know, she won't mind me saying this, but she wrestles with it a little more than I do in some areas. And we'd gotten a text message and everything. It was causing restlessness, okay? When I got home, I noticed she was lighter and different. And she said, I'm so glad you took the kids out and slept, because I really got to go connect with the Lord. And He changed my perspective and He changed my heart. What happened there? She got the text, and you can be influenced. Okay, this is going, I'm reacting to what's going on out here, I'm reacting to what's going on there. I challenge every one of you, and you take your own temperature. If you find yourself in a situation in life, situation, anything you're going through, and it's causing uneasiness and restlessness, worry and despair. I've been there myself, man. One thing I always do, and I practice this, I've given this tip many, many times, I implore you to again. If you find yourself in that place, go into the holy place by the light. Go in there where Jesus is and say, Lord, I give you my circumstance. Lord, I worship you in the midst of it. I praise you. And just allow Him to fill you. And I tell you the truth. When I do that, there can be, my wife said the same thing about me. I can have something really unraveling on the inside. And when I can go sit and sit in the peace of God, in the presence of God, and I come out, and guess what? My circumstance hasn't changed, but I have. And I'm aware, Lord, I have confidence in you. You're faithful. The Lord always reminds me of His faithfulness. Lord, you're faithful. I have confidence. Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. You sit on the throne. You're not worried about it. I am, because I'm living by the elements of the day. But when I come in and say, Lord, I don't want the elements of the day. I want to come in where you are, and it's just you. I'm governed. I'm living under a different, whole different world. Okay? Living in a completely different realm because I'm under His covering, I'm under His light. Amen? Amen. That's just a good practical thing, practical tip to use. But one thing that strikes me here is that you can have, in the tabernacle of Moses, you can have light and dark at the same time. So if I'm in the outer court and it's night outside, I'm governed by that. If I go in, there's light. I was talking, who was that? Bob has a generator. I was talking annoying guy with a generator, because I don't have one. And so one thing, I came up here Friday night about 7:30 because we didn't have power and I was getting stuff done. And I was thinking, you know, our house, our whole neighborhood, I mean, it was like going from North Korea to South Korea. It was dark. And then you go right over the next neighborhood, it's all bright. I'm thinking, oh, you guys still have your power. Or there's some guy with a generator and he's got everything open and like we don't have power. There's a place in our life, if you look even in going all the way back to Exodus, I wrote the passage down. It says they, to some of the Egyptians, it says they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. This was when, remember, God sent the plague of darkness? It says, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What was going on there? Same time, same day. One had darkness, one had light. What's your perspective? Where are you living? Darkness and light at the same time. And I was looking, even back in Andrea, I was grateful she did this in her worship. She shared how God spoke and there was. What I started to look at light, and should have asked you. If you look scientifically at light, it was so much it like blew me away. And so I said, I can't focus on that. I can't do it. But light gives life. Jesus is the light. I remember when I lived in upstate New York, it was dark. I mean, I was talking to you again this morning, Bob, lived near Syracuse, New York, and they would send people with skin issues to Syracuse because they average 90 days of sunlight a year. And I remember it snowed all the time, and one day it had been dark for days and days and days, or just overcast, and it was cold, and one of my teachers was outside because the sun was there, and she was just sitting like this. I said, what are you doing, Wendy? Just letting the sun hit me. There's just something life-giving about it. But the Lord speaks, and I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So nothing was. And when God speaks into your life, what happens? What's dark becomes light. I have another passage I'm going to read in a minute. It said, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different verses. Remember in Peter, he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been translated, Paul wrote to the Colossians, out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his Son. And so there's, you can see that parallel throughout Scripture. But let me read this passage. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to listen. I love this verse. It's in Isaiah chapter 60. You know what it is. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Okay. You see what happens there. Darkness is covering the earth, but arise, shine, for your light has come. I want to give some context to this passage a minute and speak to you in some areas. But I have several points that are going to be kind of all over the place. It doesn't take long. Turn on the news and you can see our world right now is groping in darkness. Okay? It's important as sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the King, that my focus is not on that. My focus, again, is on Him. And I can say, you know what? Turn on the news, see all the mess going on. There's darkness. But arise, shine, for my light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. And it says, and kings shall come to the brightness of your dawn. It says, the Gentiles shall come to you. One thing I want to encourage us to do, is there darkness in our world today? Yes, there is. But the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He's put something in you to shine in the midst of darkness. And when I spend all my time focusing on how dark it is, I'm like the outer court Christian, and I'm just groping and reacting. I'm reacting to the news. I believe in being aware of the news. I watch it. Sometimes I watch it too much, and I start finding myself getting anxious. And that's when I have to go back. But you know what? I'm either living by the precepts and everything's going on today. It's important that I'm aware of that. I'm aware, hey, I'm in the holy place with the Lord. I'm aware of what's going on out here, okay? But I'm not living there. I'm living by the Lord. And the Lord has lit me up so I can go out. And when I step out into the darkness, I I step into the Nor'easter in the outer court, I'm carrying something that people need, right? Each and every one of us carries something that no one else has your DNA, no one else has your spiritual DNA, no one else has something that you have because you carry something unique. Jumping ahead of myself, one thing I felt to share this morning, the Lord spoke this to me this week. Everyone of you, you have something to say. Everyone here is a son and daughter of God, I know that.
Amen.
You have something to say. Your job is not to focus and constantly talk about how dark it is. I'm aware of that. But do you know what the Lord says? Arise, shine, for your light has come. I'm going to give you context of that in a minute because it speaks to us today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. The Lord shines. Jesus is the light, and He comes and He lives within us and He shines through us because there's a world that needs what we have and what we carry. Amen?
Amen.
Every person in here, without exception, I can go down the list of each and every one of you that I know in here, every single one of you, and I can say, you know what? You know, Mary, you're really, I can see it, you're really gifted in this area. You have this. I see where the Lord's put you. There's something in you that the people around you need. Rise, shine, for your light has come. Amen? Jim, at work, there's something in you. There's something, each one of us. Every person has something to say. Everyone has something to give because you carry the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Everyone has value because of that. Amen?
Amen.
Every single person. I was listening to, anyone remember Nathan that used to come here when I first got here? Most of you don't know him. He actually came the Sunday I candidated here. And then the next Sunday he was here was my first Sunday. And he's in Virginia now. And I miss him. He was our first sound guy. He's a great, great guy. And he's doing very well, if you remember him. I keep up with him on Facebook. And he posted something yesterday. He said, you know, God did not raise us up to be debaters of people, but to be sons and daughters of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't even have to go out and convince. I'm just, because because each and every one of you carry something in the God, I can just walk into a situation to be aware of that. I'm a son of God. Spirit of God is on the inside of me. I carry something. I have something in the situation that they need. Amen?
Amen.
That's empowering and it's life-giving. Carry something in God. So it's a matter of perspective and putting on Christ and different things like that. I want to look at a passage in Romans chapter 13, and then I'm going to get back to Isaiah, I promise you. And Kevin mentioned this morning, you know, our life in God, it's a walk, it's a race, it's a run, however you want to call it. We receive a lot of things at salvation, but the Lord wants us to take everything He's given us and walk it out. And sometimes, I was thinking, you said walk in the light. I'm going to go home this week. I told Tony, you got to be praying this week because you didn't have to give you the what to pray for. It's the ACC tournament. I grew up, well, it doesn't mean anything to any of you guys except for my friend here, but it's a tournament. I'm going to go home and just watch some basketball. And it's good when we watch sports. And I'm on the couch watching it, and I say, we won. No, you didn't win. You watched. They won. Okay? All of us have a part to play, and it's important that we don't do that and carry that over into our walks with God. I know most of you in here, not all of you, understand that, and you don't do it. But we don't cheer, the pastor did this, the pastor did that. No. We're all participants. Like John Wimber said, everyone gets to play in the kingdom of God. There is no first or second class citizen. There's no, you get to do the work of the ministry, and we don't. Every single person gets to run and play the game, okay? I don't want to cheer someone and say, I watched. I want to walk it and say, hey, it's more fun, it's more exhilarating if you ever played sports when you're part of a victory, when you play it and when you watch it. Well, sometimes it's more fun to watch it, just depends. But it's something special when you get to play it, and so it's walking in it. And so in Romans chapter 13, it says in verse 11, it says, and do this, knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Remember when we were in the book of Ephesians, we talked all about putting off and putting on? Okay, so there we have again, put off the works of darkness and put on the light of God, the armor of light. It says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness, I can't ever pronounce that word, and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Let me go back to something again. I think this crowd in here, you know well enough, you're not going out and necessarily walking in darkness per se, but it's important that our perspectives and where we live and how we live, that we have not a perspective of darkness and our focus is there, but a perspective of light. Let me give you some just some practical things real quick. I have some several things. It's darkness stands for the Christless life. And I just talked about this, about walking in the light. It says, Christians are not in darkness for the other day. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son in Colossians. Let me just say it again. If you're a son and daughter of God, before God, you are a son and daughter of the light. I have to walk it out. Once again, I reiterate from last week, it can be true in the heavens, but it has to be lived and walked down the earth. And so God can look at me and say, everything, you know, you are this. I called you to be this. But it's important to walk it out. I tell my son this. If my son's having a bad day like we all have, I'll say, Owen, you're not a bad boy, but you're being bad right now. You're a good boy. And I speak who he is because he is a good boy. I've shared this before. And the Lord says that to us too. Stub my toe, mess up. Hey, you know what? Mary, you get to be picked on today since James isn't here. I'm sorry. You do this. You know what? It's not you're just a rotten, you're bad. No. You're a daughter of God. You may be walking out of character right now from who God says you are, but your identity is a daughter of God. And so the Lord says, I think Kevin mentioned some of this morning as well, tied along with what I'm saying. I might be operating outside of the character of Christ that he says that I am. And so it's important you know, hey, right now, this is not my character. My character is as a son. It's as a daughter. And that means that my conduct should be accordingly. Okay? Like I said last week, we don't allow temptations to become our identity. My identity is not something I struggle with. That's something that I overcome. My identity is a son and daughter of God. And one of the worst things that happens is when we struggle, when we wrestle with things. We say, this just me. This must be how I am. I can't help but steal when I go to the store. I'm just a stealer. No, you're not. You're a son of God. That's not who you are. It's not your identity. And the Lord's put you there. Remember, it's training. It's resistance. Okay? I'm going to overcome that. Not to be overcome by it, but overcome it. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. It says that also darkness stands for ignorance of life apart from Christ. I'm going to read, and don't take the time to turn there. But there's a cool verse, couple of chapters in the book of John. If you're getting used to the Bible, let me just say John, Gospel of John, because I know we have a wide spectrum of folks here, is an excellent to start with. I love it. And if you haven't read any of the Gospels, I would, my recommendation, start with John. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. But Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Says right then and there, I have a choice. I can either walk with the perspective of light or the perspective of darkness. Okay? Jesus tells them, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Okay? That means that potentiality is there if you allow it to happen, but it's not God's purpose for you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. Don't know where you're going. Let me go back to something I said before. I was watching or listening to someone, they were talking about the shooter down in Florida. And they said it's a trouble. I have to believe this has been going on for years and years. But a lot of things in our society are broken. Okay? And you have a lot of kids, young people, and adults who have no sense of purpose. They have no sense of identity. They have no sense of where they're going or what they're doing. I want to encourage you again. I think this is a message the Lord is bringing to the body of Christ in this hour. As a son and daughter of Christ, that you have an identity and you have a purpose each and every day. Okay? My purpose, God allowed me to be a pastor for some reason. He did. But my purpose isn't fulfilled when I stand in front of here and speak to you. My purpose is fulfilled every single day with my kids, with my job. I told you the greatest compliment I've gotten this year was on my performance review, and they said you were encouraging to us when we were going through a hard time, because who I am as a son of God to encourage people is not just from back here. It better be when I work as well, on my job. Every single day I have purpose, okay? My purpose as a son of the King, that, you know what? Turn on the news. There's some messy stuff going on out there. Do you know what? My perspective is, it might be getting darker out there, but it's getting brighter to me. And God's put something in me each and every single day that can change the atmosphere and change the darkness where I go. Amen? I was listening to a guy who went down in the coal mines of West Virginia where it was just pitch black. He said it was so dark in there, you didn't know if you were upside down or not. And he said, he was a preacher, and he said, but we turn on our lights, and the darkness couldn't fight against the light, right? I can be in the deepest darkness, abyss of despair, but if I've got that headlight and I shine it, the darkness can't overcome that. That's what you carry. That's purpose, that's identity, whether I'm in school, whether I'm on the job, whether I'm my family. Amen. There's something, there's a unique purpose for each and every day. If you're in a place in your life right now where you feel like you have no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, what's the point of this? My heart cry to you this morning is change your perspective and I recognize that you are a son of light. You carry something divinely powerful inside of you. I wish all of us could see ourselves in the Spirit just for 10 seconds and see how God sees us. I bet we'd be amazed. Mighty men and women of God that we are. Okay? Don't allow the darkness, don't allow the enemy to say that you're not. There's no purpose, there's no this, there's no that. There's something powerful inside of you. Let me move on. Darkness stands for chaos, and that was I read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let me say, if you're in a place right now where there's chaos and confusion, chaos, disorder, anywhere like that, again, this is just a recap of what I've already said. Go back and focus on the Lord. Focus on the light. I used to work with a guy, and he was chaos. If you put me in a place of work, I can tell you what the manager's like in 10 minutes by watching the people. In his place, I worked for him. It was a mess. He would walk in the building, and you could be on the other side of the room, doors closed, and you could feel him come in the room, just what he carried, such chaos and disruption. Once again, let the peace of God rule in your heart. If you're ever in a place, in any situation, where there's restlessness and turmoil and strife, who is the Prince of Peace? Yes. He resides inside of you. Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. You sit in the heavens. This is revealing what I've already said. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, give me perspective, your divine perspective, okay? Day by day, I've already spoken on that. Darkness is also connected with lovelessness and hate. And remember, John says, if one hates his brother, it's a sign that he walks in darkness. Another simple, quick point, and it's a recap. If you find yourself really anxious, and because this is easy to do, and stuff starts working in you against another person, Mary's ticked me off, doing this, guard your spirit, okay? And if I allow these roots of bitterness and hatred to start forming up, I'm more aware of the darkness. I'm in the outer court when the nor'easter is going on, and I need to come in. Father, this is your daughter right here. Even if she's not your daughter, let's say she's not. Lord, you created her, and you start praying for her. Pray for someone. It's hard to have these things in your heart if you're praying for them. Lord, bless her. Lord, I speak life, strength to her. Lord, lead her into all truth. And just do that and live that in your life. One more thing before I wrap up. It also speaks Jude 13 as full separation from God. It's important. Let me say this. I don't want to be... My heart for God is that I think God is so great. And He's changed my life so much. I want people to experience that. I do. He is what He is. I love the Lord. But I also don't want people in full separation from God for all eternity and in darkness. I remember there was an elder at my church, and he's still there. And he was in the drug scene back in the 70s. And he shared with me, and I don't know why this happened, but it did. He actually died at one point, and he lost his life and was flatline. And he said, Clay, he said, I felt my spirit leave my body. I was someplace, I heard screaming. He said, the only thing I can describe is that there was blackness there that was so thick you can cut it with a knife. The absence of God is darkness. Okay? I don't want that for me or anyone else. Amen. And he, again, I don't know why this happened to him. It did. Thank the Lord for it. He said, I cried out to Jesus and came back to life. It's one of those stories that happens with some people. Don't ask me why. I don't know. It's one of those things the Lord did. But I have a heart. I should want to reach people because I, honestly, sincerely, I don't know what I would do without Jesus in my life. But I also don't want them to have an experience of darkness without the Lord. Amen. And that should drive me to something. I don't want anyone to have that. I want the Lord in all of His fullness. Let me give you, and I'm going to wrap up with this because we're going to take communion. I've already gone longer than I anticipated. In Isaiah chapter 60, if we go back there, it's always good to read context. And you're speaking there to the exiles who came. And I'm going to share a few quick little things. If I understand the context of this, the Israelites came, and remember they were led captive, and this was, Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. The first 39 books are more Old Covenant in their tone. The last 27 are more New Covenant, starting with Isaiah chapter 40. But he speaks promises and blessings, and he speaks prophetically. And I remember I was in college, I had to take a class on Old Testament, and the professor of a more theological, liberal understanding said that Isaiah didn't write this. They call it First Isaiah and Second Isaiah because they said there's no way Isaiah could write prophetically, and he writes prophetically in here. So they attribute this to a later time and a later author. But he speaks prophetically. But he's speaking to a people, if you go back and read in chapter 59, and this was a people who the hand of God was on them. He was calling them out of exile back to rebuild the temple. Okay? And if you look in there, it says in the previous chapter, Isaiah 59, verse 10, or 9 through 10, people are saying, therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for the light, but there is darkness. This is their position right now. They're saying, we're looking for light, but there's darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. Where are they? Instead of being in the holy place, they're outside. We're looking for light, but all I'm seeing is what's going on around me. What's happening over here? I don't feel like I can handle this. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as at twilight, we are as dead men in desolate places. Let me go back to something again. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And he's speaking of when Jesus came. Remember when Jesus, in Luke 23, veil was torn, it says, darkness covered the land. Remember that? It was darkness. And then in Luke 24, when the angel came and said that he was shining, and Jesus is your light, Jesus came, his death, burial, and resurrection, he brought light to the world. Okay? He did that. We can be in a place in our life, and I was in here this morning, early this morning, and I felt like this is probably for a couple of us. You can feel like here, you're in no position. Lord, you've called me over here to this place. I feel no purpose. I sense no presence, I don't sense this, and I don't feel adequate to do it. He says, Lord, I'm looking for the light, but all I see is darkness where I am. I'm trying to find brightness, and I'm finding blackness. I can't see anything, and Lord, you couldn't use me. How could that happen? The Lord's response to you as a son and daughter of God, arise, shine, for your light is come. All this is happening over here to me. All I see is this. The Lord says to shift your perspective, to shift your focus. Rise, shine, for your light has come. There's you son and daughter of God, there's light shining from you to fill the earth in every place that He's called you to be. Amen? I don't have to feel a certain way to be a certain way. Okay? It doesn't matter how I feel. I am that. And let me do this. Janelle, I don't want to embarrass you, but the Lord put you on my heart if you were here. And I said, I was in here this morning, and the Lord says when He looks at you, He sees a warrior in the spirit. I just, The way it's in my heart is you don't understand fully all that the Lord's given you and all that the Lord's put within you. And it's almost, I can't describe it, you just have to take my word for it. I was in here early this morning or I wouldn't be doing it. And I didn't know if you were going to be here today. But he looks and he says, this is my warrior princess, my warrior bride. We have a picture of the artist in the school I went to. We have it over Hannah's. I need to get you a copy over her bed. And it's a warrior bride, because sometimes she gets scared at night. And just look at you in the spirit. You're carrying an armor of light. You carry something really substantial that the Lord has in you. I don't know if that speaks to you or not, but it's there. And for anyone, if I feel just in the natural, you were tired this morning, I would be next week. It doesn't matter how I feel on any given day. It doesn't matter what's going on with me. The word of the Lord is, arise, shine, for your light has come. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill, the salt of the earth. He is the light of the world, but he comes and lives in us. And because of that, he says, you are the lights of the world. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm in the light of the world. And then he comes and he makes us lights. See ourselves in that perspective, in that vein. Amen? I'm going to end with that this morning. Let me finish. I'm actually going to end with another verse. And this is showing heart of God for the people. First and second Isaiah, as they call it. He speaks prophetically to the people of God. But let me just say, this isn't, don't turn there, but it's in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 through 9. And this is who God says that we are as sons and daughters of light. It says, this is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. When he talks about Gentiles in here, it's always speaking of those who are outside of covenant with God, okay? I'm in covenant with the Lord, amen? I'm a light to everyone who's outside of covenant with God. To open eyes that are blind to those who are in darkness. To free captives from prison, those who are bound in darkness. To free them and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That's the word of God for us. Isaiah chapter 42. Matthew chapter 5. For you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. One more verse to end with. I'm going to take communion. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's our position. It's our portion. It's our inheritance. That as children of God, the golden lampstand in there, it lit up everything in the tabernacle. If I was outside of there, I was governed by everything going on around me. The birds dropping over my head, the rain, the winds. But when I go in there, I'm governed by a completely different set, different world. And I recognize what I carry, and I can go back out to those who are in darkness, as Isaiah 42 says. And I can say, you know what? The Lord has better things for you. You might not be walking with Him, but the Lord has better things for you. I love Jesus. I don't want you to be in darkness, because Jesus is, to me, is just awesome. I love Him. I don't want you to be in eternal darkness. I want you to have the light of life. That's our portion, it's our inheritance, every place that we go. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Peter, you want to come up? We're going to take communion. And I didn't ask you before. I apologize, brother. Kevin and Bob, you guys want to pass out the elements and take communion this morning? Here we go.